Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey there, race fans. It's time for another Race Fans Rock radio show tonight. I'm your host, Infield Chen, and I am ready to kick off this show. Tonight, I'll be speaking with my dedicated fan in the stand reporter from Eldora Speedway and a really cool group of race fans who love their favorite drivers so much that they've recreated their driver's race cars. These are street legal cars, and I had the pleasure of meeting up with them yesterday to find out all about their really cool group. It's all coming up in just a few minutes, but first, I hope everyone had a great week, and I hope that everybody tuning in had a great week since our last show. My week was really long, but it was pretty good. Last Thursday, we loaded up the crew and our number 29 ARCA racing car, and we headed out to Lucas Oil Raceway in Indiana for Brian Keselowski's first race of the year. It's really good to finally get him back on track. It was for the Sous Chief Power PEX 200 with the ARCA Racing Series, and it was my first time at Lucas Oil Raceway Park, so, you know, I can cross that one off my list now, too. Thankfully, the weather was pretty good. It was not ridiculously hot like it was the previous week in Iowa. I don't even want to talk about the heat there, but anyway, we get there on Friday, and we unload right on pit road. The trailers were not able to stay inside the track, which kind of sucked because, you know, I didn't have any real place to set up my stuff. But, you know, I made do on top of the toolbox. You know, when you have to, you know, you do what you have to do in situations like that. What are you going to do? But so we get through tech with no problems. You know, guys are working on the car, getting it ready for first practice. And I literally go around the entire track taking pictures of everything while practice sessions are going on, you know. And thankfully, you know, LOR, it's not that big. So getting to all the turns was accessible, and it didn't take too long to get to each corner of the track. So, you know, I was able to get a lot of really good pictures. Literally all over the track. So they're all posted on infieldgen.com on the gallery section, so go check them out. Now, Brian's okay in practice, you know. Now, mind you, it's his first time in this new car, it was Brian's new car on the track at Lucas Oil Raceway. So, you know, the first few runs were really to just get the car acclimated and you know, get Brian ready to feel out the car, kind of, you know. Well, we weren't really too worried, you know, about speed at that point, but I don't know, Brian says he thinks that the tires were a little screwy, so they changed them, you know, and he did much better. He really did. And sometimes you just get a bad set of tires, you know. Again, something that happens, but you change them out and the car is totally different. So by the second practice ended, you know, Brian was feeling better about the car, and, you know, the guys got it ready for qualifying, where he went on to qualify in 10th. Not bad. So, you know, the race starts a little after 9 p.m., and what was really nice was that Brian's brother Brad showed up shortly before the race, you know, and he hung out in our pit box cheering his big brother on. So that was really cool. It's not too often that he actually gets a free minute to hang out with Brian and their dad Bob. So it was nice to see him there, you know, really was. As for the race, it was a 200-lap race, and there was a big checkup when the race first started, and Brian almost got caught up in what was could have been a huge accident. I don't know how no one wrecked, but they didn't, thank God. And however, Brian did wind up losing a lot of spots right off the bat because of that. Definitely wasn't what we wanted to see, but once his new tires that he started the race with got a little worn, the car actually started coming back to him, and he was passing people left and right. It was really cool to watch him just shoot up that field, you know. And I hear Brian got a lot of airtime for that too, so that was really cool. So thank you to the guys at Fox Sports 1. He moved up like 10 spots, and he got up to as high as 8th place, you know. And then when the caution came out, you know, and Brian did make a pit, they made the decision to only take 2 tires instead of 4, which now we know, you know, thanks to hindsight, it wasn't the best thing to do at the time. But, you know, who the hell would have thought we would have had an 80-something green lap run, you know, till the end. But Brian wound up running the entire race with the same left side tires that he started it with. Don't ask me how those tires did not give out and blow out on him, because I can't give you an answer. All I know is that after the race, they were about a million degrees, and there was nothing left on them. I mean, there's no rubber, no nothing. Brian went on to finish in 13th place. Definitely wasn't what we were hoping for, and we know that the car that he has, it's capable of doing much better. And, who knows if the outcome, what it would have been if he actually did take those four tires, when he made that one and only pit stop. I can tell you this, the only driver that did take four tires, he won the race, and that was Travis Braden. And in that race was his debut in the ARCA Racing Series. And the funny thing is I actually helped him earlier in that day in the CV hauler. And the CV hauler is the hauler that we all go to buy parts and pieces that we need while we're at the track. Anyway, Travis was buying a new Honda device for himself, and I helped him make sure that, he had the right size before he bought it. And, I knew his name sounded familiar. This is funny. But I didn't place him at the moment, but later on I realized how I had heard of him. His PR guy, which I'm pretty sure it might be his dad, he has been sending me information and press releases about him for a long time. And I got to say, I love it when I get emails from PR people who are really the driver's parents, and it's so easy to tell, too. Now, of course, you can't blame the parents for being proud of their daughter or their son, who's the driver. But, when you get those emails that list every single accomplishment the driver has ever made, like drove perfect circles in the parking lot at the age of five, he's the next Jeff Gordon, or, they list every award that their son or daughter driver has ever received. Like, he got an award at a luncheon for humanitarianism, just off the wall things like that only a parent would write and not really like a PR person or driver's handler. But hey, it's cool. And, at least that driver has a strong support system, but I get a kick out of it. So, hey, keep them coming, and I'll keep reading them. I love it. But anyway, back to Brian. So, like I said, he finished 13th overall. And, again, it's not the finish that we wanted. However, good news is that the car is in one piece, and it's clean. So, once we find some more funds and money to get him back on track, we can do that. So, if all goes well in the financial department, we'd like to have Brian run Berlin in Michigan and or Salem in Indiana coming up. I got to say, we couldn't have done this race without the help and support of our sponsors, who were Western Reserve Asphalt and the Ramada Inn Limited, Indianapolis West. And, oh, my God, if you guys go to Indy, check out that hotel. The owner's name is Johnny B, and he is a trip and a half. I can't even begin to tell you. Awesome, and he absolutely loves racing. He's got racing pictures all over the place. Couldn't tell me enough how many people, other drivers had stayed at his hotel, and, he hooked them up, and it was really cool. He's one of the most funniest hotel owners that I've ever met, and if we ever go back to Indy, I am so calling him again. And we also had our fan-in program on in effect, and we had six names on the car, and we only had it available for a week before the race, so getting six names, it wasn't so bad. Payment was only available via PayPal, so that kind of, some people contacted me, wanted to send checks and stuff. I just didn't have the time to get all that. So next time, we know ahead of time, I'll put it out there a little bit more in advance, and people can send checks, money orders, whatever. But like I said, we kind of decided at the last minute to do it, so because a few fans had been asking me about it, and I said, why not? So we had Dr. Stephen Taylor on the car, and he sponsored us before in the past, so that was really cool of him to come back on. Brian's cousin, Mike Bailey, signed up. Thanks, Mike. It's always good to hear from you. Michael Segetta, he signed up. Nice, good fan of ours. And a longtime fan of ours, Rachel Tinney, who's been on the show before because she was a dedicated fan of the Stan Report for me at Michigan, she signed up for two names. And instead of putting her and her husband Sean's name on the car, she asked if we could put her pet's names on the car, which was really cool. So we had Prince Harry on the car and Smurfy. And I thought it was great. Maybe next time we can do like a fan pet name program and have all the race fans that follow us have all their pets on the car. I think that would be really cool. The other name that we had on the car was also a longtime fan, and his name is Steve Stamberski, spelled S-T-A-M-B-E-R-S-K-Y. Well, thanks to freaking autocorrect on the computer that printed the decals, it eliminated the letter T in his last name, and unfortunately, I didn't notice it until it was already on the car at the track. And Steve sent me a message after I posted the pictures of it on social media. Felt really bad, but at that point there was really nothing that I could do. We were already at the track, So, Steve, if you're listening, to make it up to you, the next time we race the car with Brian driving, we will have Steve's correct name. So, Steve, we're really sorry about that, but, thanks very much for your support. We really appreciate it, and we will definitely make it up to you. So this weekend coming up, we have Matt Krzyzewski back behind the wheel of the number 54 ARCA car for the Mod Space 125 at Pocono Raceway, which is Matt's home track. And he's feeling really confident about this race this time because he's got a great call for it, and he's been there already now. He was there a few weeks ago, so he's got a good feel for the track, and he knows what to expect, you know, and he knows what he can do with his car there. So Brian Keselowski will be back in the crew chief chair on top of the pit box, calling the shots for Matt. And I'll be back in the pit box with my sign and guiding Matt into his pit box and grabbing some tires and then probably taking some pictures of everything for you. So we're looking forward to that. We leave tomorrow. No, we leave Thursday. All right, so let's do a quick rundown now about the winners from last week. At Eldora Speedway, it was Christopher Bell who brought it home and took the checkered flag. It was his first win in the truck series, and it was a really good win for him. Now, this win will probably help him out in a big way with his career. He seems like a really nice kid, so congrats to him on the huge win, and I'm looking forward to see what lies ahead for him. After that, we moved on to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it was the Kyle Busch Show. And, you know, you really cannot say enough about him. Whether you like him or not, you have to agree with me. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable the things that he has accomplished on the track after suffering from his accident in Daytona. I really believe that he's going to, you know, wind up making the chase. And honestly, I would not be surprised at all if he comes back and wins the championship this year. You know, if he stays as he is right now. And how about this little guy, Braxton? How cool. Only 2 months old and he's been to victory lane so many times already. That's awesome. And just my opinion, but I think the little guy looks like Kyle. Now, you know, if he grows up and he can fill his top shoes, you know, that would be nice. That would be something. So congratulations to Kyle Busch, Team 18, and Joe Gibbs Racing. Great job, man. Okay, let's get to my first guest, Eyes and Ears at Eldora Speedway. And I am great with that because, as you all know, I am not a fan of dirt. And I mean that in the literal sense of the word. I don't mind the dirt racing itself. It's really good racing, good passing, and you know, good side-by-side racing. But I just do not enjoy being there in person because it skeeves me out when the dirt on the track gets on my skin, on my clothes, or anything near me. So with that said, I would like to welcome my first guest, Nathaniel Massey, to the show. And I spoke with Nathaniel earlier today, and this is what he had to say about his experiences at Eldora Speedway as my dedicated fan and the stand reporter. Oh, hang on. Hey, Nathaniel, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here.
Great, glad to have you. So, Nathaniel, let's say you are my dedicated fan and the stand reporter at Eldora. So, you know, let's talk right about that. Well, actually, let's start from the beginning. When did you actually become a race fan?
You know, I've been a race fan probably since I was a little kid, you know, going out to Indianapolis Motor Speedway with my dad for the 500, the qualifying and all that fun stuff, and later became a NASCAR fan as well. So I'm passionate about both open wheel racing and NASCAR racing. I've had some really cool experiences over the years that I could talk, you know, for hours about, from riding in a two-seater to actually waving the green flag for qualifying at the Speedway, but we'll focus on Eldora today.
Sounds good. I might have to do a whole hour on you in a future episode. That'd be great. Okay, so let's talk about Eldora Speedway. What did you actually do when you first got to the track?
Well, we pulled into, first of all, driving up to the track, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it really surprised me how many RVs and campers there were. I mean, it was just acres and acres of campers and tailgaters. And so we pulled in, and they got us parked actually right across the street. We walked around outside a little bit, just taking it in, and then we headed inside.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in there, it's a very nice facility. We walked around a little bit before the qualifying races, took everything in.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things I have to say about Eldora Speedway and what makes it so nice is how affordable the food is, how affordable the drinks are, and I know I shared my photo of the beer line with you.
Oh, that was great.
The line for beer. Well, and I can tell you why, because it was $10 for a six-pack of Miller Lite, which is incredibly reasonable when we talk about, I was at the Xfinity race at the Speedway, IMS, Saturday, and I saw a guy walking around selling beer, and he was selling beer for $10 a can of Miller Lite.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think I know why the beer line was so long. So after that, they had Norm Benning's truck on display in one of their showrooms that I know Tony Stewart purchased from Norm, the truck that was very famous from
Last 2013.
After that, we went up and watched qualifying, which is really interesting. We were on the top of turn four, great view. Seemed like a lot of drivers had trouble with the dirt track during qualifying. There were a couple spins, a lot of people getting way closer to the wall than I think they wanted to. And I was a little concerned about what the racing was going to be like. It just looked like everybody was really struggling for a while. But then they did the heat races, and I don't know. Did they show the heat races on TV?
I was actually at the shop, so I didn't get the chance to really watch it too much. I watched the race, but I didn't see the races beforehand, so I'm not 100% sure. I think they did.
I think it may have been on like a channel not very many people get.
Yeah.
It might have been FS. Might have been FS2, but I've heard some complaints about that. But the heat races were really good, I thought. They were very exciting, as was the race. It was fun. The first one was a little on the boring side, but the second one was exciting, getting to watch John Hunter Nemechek win a heat race. You know, I think a lot of people were cheering for him. And the third one, people really went crazy because Ken Schrader won his heat race. I think he probably had the most support of any driver out there, which I thought was pretty cool.
Nice.
Everybody was cheering for Kenny Schrader, I think.
Yeah.
And Norm Benning got a lot of cheers, too. He ran another very good race, finished third in his heat race this year, so he didn't have to go to the last chance qualifier, I don't think. And then they brought out the modifieds. And did some heat races with those, and then they ended up doing a 25-lap feature, I believe. I thought the modifieds put on a really good show, although there were a lot of them, and it seemed like they got spread out really quickly. Although there was a last lap pass, but I enjoyed the modifieds.
Cool.
And then on to the big... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, were you able to get up close to any of the drivers? Did you have passes to get down there?
We did not this time. It was kind of a last-second trip we put together Monday, but a couple days before. But, you know, it didn't really matter because it was just a much smaller experience, but it was better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, gotcha.
Like, everything seemed to be a little closer to the fans and at the big tracks. And it seemed to be a lot more fan-exclusive, you know. You could see the drivers better. You could see the action better.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you were that close and it's a dirt track, did you get dirty? Did it get on you? Did it get up? Did the dirt fly up that high?
Ugh. It did a little bit. I was very high in turn four, so it wasn't too bad. The modifieds were pretty bad. I will say the modifieds picked up a lot of dirt. Once they started going, it seemed like they got higher into turn four and kicked up a big cloud of dust every time they did. I was a little worried about that going into the truck race. Did you know some people were pulling out for their face? The trucks really weren't that bad. But at the end of the night, I did realize I'd have a little coat of dust on my neck.
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of dirt at all, and that's not a secret. I mean, everybody knows that. I'm okay. I will take your word for what went on. I really don't want to go. So, anyway, being that you were sitting up high enough, and I've never been there, were you able to kind of, like, see the garage area and, like, what was that like and how was that set up? Was it set up kind of like a cup track or, you know, how did that all look?
I don't think there were actually any garages. I think it was just such a small infield that they pretty much had the haulers set up and then pretty much just the pit boxes right there. It was after they rolled in from qualifying, they headed right back over to their haulers and started working outside there. I mean, it was probably about, for most of the, from what I could see, it was probably about 10 feet, 20 feet from the hauler to where the pit box was actually set up. So it was a very cramped little infield, you know.
Gotcha.
And the pit road entrance was just was completely chaotic. That's why they split it into two groups and did cold pit stops, because it's just such a tiny little pit road. Okay. And there were a couple of incidences where even under yellow, you know, during the competition cautions,
mm-hmm.
they were having trouble getting in there because it was so small. And it was such a... And they were having trouble getting in and out of their pit boxes just because it was such a small,
gotcha.
Tight area. I can't emphasize that enough.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you this. You were on the outside of the track. What did you think of outside the track? Was there things to do, like, you know, a fan zone, or what was going on outside the track?
Yeah, there was plenty to do. A lot of independent vendors, none of the big souvenir rigs from the Cup Series or anything, but they had a couple of different areas in Turn 4 and behind Turn 1. Turn 1 was kind of the big merchandise alley. They had probably 25 little trailers and tents for independent vendors. A lot of vendors for dirt track cars, you know, from the people that race Eldora on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Pierce had a lot of merchandise for sale, and he seemed to be very popular. There were some show cars on display, some show trucks, a lot of food vendors, a lot of... they sold a lot of 50-50 tickets, I remember that,
okay.
for charity. And they ended up, a crowd of 17,000 ended up raising more than $23,000 in 50-50 tickets.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I was really surprised as to how many they bought. I think the people in our section probably bought most of them, because it seemed like they just kept cranking out tickets after tickets after tickets.
That's cool.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot of time between events. There was always something happening on the track, which
mm-hmm.
was really cool, whether that be the heat races for the trucks or the modifieds, or there was or driver introductions. They didn't really keep people waiting, which is kind of a contrast to, like, the event at Speedway this weekend.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this. What was what would you say the best feature about Eldora Speedway is?
Oh, the best feature? There's a lot of them. I'd say probably it's just so refreshing to see food prices that aren't $9 to $11, that you can go and get a burger for $2 and go and get a drink for $1, whereas, you know, any other sporting event or any major venue anymore, really, you have to be prepared to pay about 4 or 5 times what something is actually worth.
Gotcha.
So
actually,
real...
since the food was so, you know, cheap, was it good? Did it taste good?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
It was as good as any other thing that you can find, like, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I didn't eat out there this weekend just because it was so
expensive. Gotcha.
I'm not into paying $9 for a hamburger.
I got it, yeah. That can be pretty pricey. But
yeah.
If you had to say, like, what was there anything about the Speedway, Eldora Speedway, that you did not like or that you weren't too fond of?
Not really, honestly.
Okay.
The one thing they could have done better is it seemed like the bleachers we were on, all the numbers had faded, and it was kind of hard to find seats, and there was a little confusion in that regard. But
mm-hmm.
other than that,
gotcha.
There really wasn't anything I can think of.
Cool. Well, very good. So now let me ask you, from your point of view, what would you say if another fan said, hey, I'm thinking about going to Eldora Speedway. Will I have a good time? And, you know, what can I look forward to?
I would definitely tell the fans to definitely go. It's definitely worth the experience, 100%. You can look forward to it just being a more laid-back feel, but I also think it felt a lot more exciting with everybody crammed in there. Look forward to really good racing, side-by-side the whole night. No single file, no real break in the action between events.
Mm-hmm.
They can look forward to good priced food, cheap parking and everything. It's just an overall really good experience. I would recommend it.
Nice.
Definitely, 100%.
Cool. Well, now, are you planning on going to any more races this year?
I don't think so. We'll see. I definitely want to go back to Eldora next year. I think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Because of the experience I had. And I've been debating going the last couple of years, and I finally decided this year to just jump in and do
great. Well, Nathaniel, how can fans connect with you on social media?
Well, I actually run a Facebook page called The Underdogs of NASCAR, which is an awesome page that I created with a couple other people about to kind of give some credit to the little guys in the sport that don't get the attention from the media. I haven't done a lot with it lately, but I'm hoping to get back into it because I've been so busy.
Cool.
But definitely, you can check that out. If you'd like to go ahead and friend me, my name is Nathaniel Massey, and I'd be happy to talk racing. I love racing. And other than that, yeah.
Cool. Well, have you had a chance to check out my racefansrock.com yet?
I have, and I've been meaning to create an account, but I have, I don't know, I'm going to, you know what, I'll go do it right now. How about that?
Well, that was great.
It seems like a pretty cool site.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, check it out. You're more than welcome to join, and, you know, add, make sure you add me as a friend. And, you know, I want to thank you for being my dedicated fan and the Sam reporter at Eldora Speedway. Your pictures came out really good. You know, I posted them on my website, so, you know, everybody else can go check them out as well. And if you had any more pictures that you didn't send me, you know, feel free to send them over. I'll add them to the to your album on there. And, you know, that'll stay up there for, you know, forever. And, you know, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I'm glad you had a good time at the track and, you know, stayed relatively clean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I don't know how well I would do actually at that track with the dirt flying everywhere. It's not good for me. But but I'm glad you had a good time, and thanks again for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Well, all right. That was Nathaniel Massey, who did a great job and obviously had a great time at Eldora Speedway. Be sure to check out his social pages and connect with him to talk about racing. Now, if you would like to be one of my dedicated fan in the stand reporters at an upcoming NASCAR race this year, connect with me and tell me which race you're planning on going to. Give me a good reason why I should pick you, and hey, maybe I will. If I do, I'll send you some garage passes, and I'll send you to the track on a mission. As you know, you'll be helping me, and you'll be helping a lot of other race fans stay updated all weekend long while we follow you and watch you have the best time you've ever had at the racetrack. So I want to give a shout-out now to my sponsors, Highland Wealth Advisor, LLC. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances to help them not only grow their businesses, but improve their quality of life as well. They've been a huge supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, InfieldGen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Keselowski Motorsports, and a huge supporter of RaceFansRock.com. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, have helped thousands of their clients achieve the lifestyle that they've always wanted, and they've provided them with the peace of mind and the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, can help you live the good life, too. So for more information and to schedule your consultation, visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. Make sure you tell them Infield Gen sent you. And if you're in the North Carolina, Charlotte area or surrounding Charlotte areas and your house is a mess, well, don't worry. Just call Tate's Cleaning Services and they will get your home or office back in tip-top shape and smelling great in no time at all. There is no job that they can't handle. It's not too big, not too small, and it ain't too gross. Trust me. I'm talking from experience here. I've got my three basset hounds, and, you know, they can get pretty dirty and stinky. They load to the ground, and they collect a lot of dirt. It's just part of them, but we love them to death. So we make sure that we keep the house clean, thanks to them, and we keep them clean, too. The hound dogs only look low maintenance. But Tate's Cleaning Services is a fully licensed and insured cleaning company. They clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. So you can find them on Facebook, / Tate's Cleaning Services. That's T-A-T-E-S Cleaning Services. Or you can email them at NorthCarolinaMade@gmail.com. And you can even give them a call at 763-269-1919. Make sure you tell them also that I sent you. They're the best and they're very good at what they do. You will not be disappointed with their results. So yesterday, I had the pleasure of meeting some extremely dedicated old-school NASCAR race fans. Now, I met up with them at Lancaster's in Mooresville, and let me tell you, if you're a NASCAR fan and you come to Race City, USA, you got to go to Lancaster's. It's a race fan's dream restaurant, and, you know, the food there was really good, too. They have NASCAR memorabilia everywhere. I mean, hoods, up the ceiling. They have a bus in there that you can actually eat in the bus. I mean, you got to check it out. It's pretty cool. But I met up with Jim Boyle, Preacher Franklin, and his stepson Chuck, Thomas Blackstone, and Dan Howe. They've all replicated their favorite drivers' race cars, like Dale Sr., Darrell Waltrip, Kyle Petty, and even Richard Petty. Their cars are street legal cars, and I had the chance to sit down with them, had dinner with them, and I got to hear all their great stories of how they built these really cool street replicated race cars of their favorite drivers, and you know how they all came together right here in Race City, USA. And now you can hear their story too. Here it is. Hey, I'm here with Preacher Franklin, Jim Boyle, Thomas Blackstone, and Dan Howe of the Street Legal Stock Car Tributes. And guys, why don't you tell me what brings you all to Mooresville?
All right, my name is Jim Boyle, and we are here to visit race shops and see what the NASCAR stuff is from behind the scenes. We all have tribute cars, so we want to show them off and show the support for racing, old school style.
So tell me a little bit about your group. How did you guys get it started, and you know, how many members are you now?
There are 40 some odd members. Actually, we just hooked up on Facebook a couple years ago, me and Jim did. We started talking, and they just started posting the cars, and we all just jumped in on it. Like I said, we're really old NASCAR fans, of like Darrell Waltrip and Richard Petty and Kyle and Senior, and we just love the old school cars, and that's why we have those cars.
So now you love these cars so much that you actually recreated these cars, correct?
Correct.
So Preacher, which cars do you have?
I have 5 Darrell Waltrip cars. I got the Budweiser, the Mountain Dew, the Pepsi, the Gatorade, and I'm in the process of building the Tide car.
Jim, which car do you have?
I have the 43 STP from 1981. 42. Lord have mercy. That was good.
Can we edit that?
Nope.
Thomas, which car do you have?
Well, apparently Jim stole mine, but I got the 43 STP 200 twin car. It's close to the original one that Richard won his last race in. We tried to copy it to give it that look like it just come off the track.
Right, cool. And you've actually raced that one.
1984. We've had it on the track, but we have not raced it in, you know, in the event. I raced my wife's Corvette this past weekend.
Cool. How'd you do?
I won my class.
Well, there you go. You won. Congratulations. Dan, which car do you have?
I have the 1984 Chevy Monte Carlo, and it is done up like the 1986 Dale Sr. Wrangler car.
Very cool. So, you know, where do you guys all travel to as a group, and, you know, what do you do when you get to your destination?
Like when we get here, we visit all the car shops.
Now, what do you do when you pull up to the shop? What kind of reaction did you get?
Oh, the people go nuts. They love our cars. Even the people working in the shops.
They stop maintenance. They stop working.
They come out and look at our cars because it's old school.
So everybody takes pictures with you and you become like
the people higher ups in the shops. The suit people, ties and all, they come out and they just go nuts.
A good example is Teresa Earnhardt came out of Dale Jr.'s shop when we were there.
Kelly.
Okay.
No name.
Kelly came out?
Junior sister came out.
Cool. What did she do?
She was very impressed. She was, you know,
she looked
pictures.
She looked at all the cars, and she posted with everybody and got some pictures.
Very friendly.
I was thrilled to death to have her come take a picture with the Wrangler.
I bet you were.
I was thrilled.
So now, how many events do you guys go to every year?
We have a local cruise in at home. We go every Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But this past week, I just did a commercial at Bristol. It was a Mountain Dew commercial with my Mountain Dew car, and it's going to air in 2 or 3 weeks.
Very cool. And Dale Jr. is in it?
Somebody like that's in it.
All right. I guess we'll have to wait 3 weeks and see who's in it. So now, have you guys ever met any of the drivers whose cars you replicated?
Oh, yeah. Me and DW go back. He came up through Nashville, and I've been a Darrell fan ever since late 60s, early 70s. I've met him several times, and I got a three-room collection of DW at home.
Wow. So now, what happened when you first met him and he saw your cars?
He was impressed. And he's really a cool guy, and he loves my collection. He hasn't been to my house, but he's seen plenty of pictures. And because of his schedule, we just hadn't hooked up at my house yet, but it's coming.
Cool. Now, has he signed any of your cards?
I've got over 200 signatures of memorabilia, but he's only signed one of my cards. But I'm looking forward to getting him to sign the other four.
Jim, how about you?
Thomas and I both, we go to Petty Garage Car Show. They have an annual event in October.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely hook up for that. Another
and the May one, too. We do the Petty Fest in May as well.
Yeah. So
any other charity events that they have, like for the Petty Foundation.
Right.
We traveled last year to Maryland.
To the Wrigley Car Show.
The Wrigley Car Show in Maryland, which was a pretty big deal. And mm-hmm. they raised about $35,000,
I think.
Yeah,
for the Petty Foundation.
Yeah. So that,
very
that
nice.
Was pretty cool.
We support the Petty Garage and the Petty Museum. Petty Foundation, stuff like that, since our cars are Petty cars.
Yeah, and I went to the Stocks for Tots Don
mm-hmm.
Miller puts on every year.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me to bring my car to Stocks for Tots this past Christmas, so we did that, and we volunteer and do work there. So it just, you know, it's kind of a way to give back and still enjoy
mm-hmm.
what you're doing. And everybody loves the cars. You got to be real careful driving down the interstate because
mm-hmm.
people will drift over in your lane. They don't watch where they're going. They're trying to. They got their cameras out. They're videoing you. I mean, you got to kind of be looking all over for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's we get a lot of good response with
kids.
See, I've noticed that there when I'm following one of the race hall is home. We're all going the same way.
Yeah.
And I saw it a couple of weeks. Like I think it was last year. I was coming home from Bristol, and my GPS wasn't working, and I was following Casey Mears Hall at home. And thank God, but there were so many people cutting each other off to be the first person behind that hall. It was really funny. Same things happen to you?
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing happens, yeah. Yeah. And we had talked about it. We'd all laughed because we've each experienced it as an individual person driving, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jim and I have gotten two together, and we'll tease a little bit on the road a little bit, and people freak out. They follow you into the gas station, see if you're going to climb out the windows, you know, all kinds of stuff. So when we got to talking about all this, Dan, when you was competing, going to be down here, we knew he had his commercial close by. We decided, you know what, we've never met. Let's all get together and get these things out. And so me and Jim worked on putting together some tours at the local places around here.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Lancaster stepped up here and gave us a place to end up the night and cap it all out. And you can't pick a better place.
Yeah, this place is really cool.
If you're into NASCAR, this is the place.
Yep.
So that all worked real good. And then, of course, all day today, we've been nose to tail, five cars running around. And it's been unreal watching people's faces.
Even the cops are giving
us
thumbs
the
up.
Cops are running by
as we pass them, so it's pretty fun.
And I hear that's not too easy to do around this town because of all the racing. They're kind of like no tolerance as
absolutely.
Far as speeding and whatnot. But that's pretty cool. So what else have you done on your trip to Mosul? What else are you hoping to do before you head out?
Honestly, this is the end of the leg.
End of the trip.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, after 7-10 race shops that we visited, you know, and watching these guys
the
race.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we did do North
Carolina
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Don Miller's, yeah.
Nice.
And that's it. This is the cap off of the whole night. Yeah.
So now, after this weekend, when do you think that you guys are going to all meet up again?
We're going to try and meet up in November for the charity laps at Charlotte Motor Speedway so we can bring our cars.
Always on the Friday, and then we'll probably do a tour of Petty Garage probably Saturday afternoon or Americana, depending on the schedule. Last year we did Americana on Saturday, charity laps on Friday, and you know, we're planning on doing some of that again.
What were you going to say?
My biggest thrill of the weekend was I raced the Wrangler car at North Carolina Motor Speedway over the weekend.
And finished sixth.
And I finished sixth in my class out of 26 cars.
Okay, that's not
thought
bad.
That was,
not
thought
bad
that
at
was
all.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Had a wonderful time. Anybody gets the chance to do the new Roval out there, it is awesome.
It is.
So what did you think about that?
Oh,
they just built that.
They just built it. They didn't have rumble strips in yet.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any grass up to the track yet. There's no there's no marking on it.
Oh.
Yeah, you go off the track, you're not in the grass, you're in the hay.
Old school, old car.
That's
wild.
It's an awesome facility. It is.
Robbie Gordon brought out a couple of his trophy trucks out there. And to watch those guys run 130 in the mix with all these hot rods and Nissan GTRs and Corvettes, and he's passing these guys on
three
wheels.
Oh my God.
In a
he's
trophy
crazy.
Truck.
He's, yeah.
I mean, he was nuts. He was nuts. I got him to find my car. When you go out and look at it, you'll see there's tons of signatures in the car. We got a custom headliner, and we get as many old school drivers, new drivers, that kind of it's a my car was built as a tribute not just to Richard Petty, but to racing what it was. And so as part of that, we try to do is get the whole inside of it covered with those signatures. And it's got Harry Gant, Ray Everham signed it, Brian Newman signed it, Don Miller signed it. Oh, gosh, I'm going blank here. There's a bunch of them. Signed it.
He's even asked me to sign it, but I refused.
That's right, Dan. You got to get first.
Now, you guys said that you came down here to visit a bunch of the race shops. Which race shops did you actually go to?
We went to Daryl Walter's shop, you know, his museum. We went to Hendrick's Museum.
Junior
Motorsports. Petty's. RPM.
Yeah. And I think that was it for this trip because it was just kind of a one-day thing. And
right.
You cram too much into it, you can't really see it all.
You don't get to spend time on anything.
No. Yeah. No, and we cannot say enough about the Petty's. I mean, they rolled out the welcome.
Yeah.
What was her name? Blair?
Blair gave
us a superb tour. I mean, walked us.
Every room.
Yeah, we
went every room.
Yeah.
She showed us everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was very
a select one of us got a souvenir from that shop.
Yeah, the wrecked car and the fender just part of the quarter panel just wound up in his lap.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
A lot of people buy sheet metal, they don't know where it comes from. We know where his comes from.
Absolutely.
We know what race and what car.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Don Miller's place. They gave us a very special tour there.
Larry was really good.
He was very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody should be encouraged to go there. It supports children, a children's charity. What's the name of his charity?
Abused Children, I believe it was.
Stop Abuse Now or something.
Right.
Like that. They're very knowledgeable. They have old school stuff in there all the way up through the modern stuff. And super, super place. It's all run by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit out of the way in Mooresville traffic to get to, but take the time to see it. It's definitely worth it. It's worth every penny.
Very good.
Yeah, I want to spend a day there.
Yeah.
I could spend a day there.
So now you guys are all on social media. You're on Facebook. This is how you met. What is the group on Facebook that you're on that everybody else can kind of meet you guys?
Tribute.
Yeah.
Tribute Stock Car.
Street Legal Stock Car Tribute.
Yeah. There you go.
Street Legal Stock Car Tribute. That's
right.
The name of the Facebook group.
Yeah,
now, is it an
search on that and should be able to pull it straight?
Is it open? Do you have
an open?
Is it open? So anybody can join.
Anybody can join.
Very cool.
If you have a stock car that looks like a stock car, definitely send us pictures. We'll post them.
Doesn't matter what year. If you got a 57 Oldsmobile, looks like Richard Petty's first car, fine. If you got an old beach car that they run or old Hudson Hornet, it doesn't matter. If it's a race car themed car and it's street legal, you drive on the street, we want you here. We want to get together. We want to make this an annual thing if possible, get people to come in.
Yeah.
What better place to have it than North Carolina and right here around Mooresville especially.
So now, in the group, there's like, how many members are in the group right now?
50-some people.
Now, how closely do you guys all keep in touch through that group?
We post every day.
Yeah.
Someone will post. Chris Reed is the one who started the group. He suggested it. He said, Jim, you've got a car. Preacher's got a car. Thomas and Dan's got a car.
Yeah.
Let's make a group just strictly for this. So he's the one who came up with it. I took off with it, and it's been great ever since.
And Chris is working on a car. He's building an Oldsmobile, I think it is.
Skylark.
Same body. He's building an old school, a little older than what we're running.
We really accept anything.
Anything. Right now we need a Ford from the 80s. So anybody's got one of them Thunderbirds out there, we need one.
All right, put a search out there.
No matter who your driver is, we don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. Yeah. But you got to have a thick skin because I mean we do pick on each other pretty good.
Oh, that's fun. Well, that's always fun.
They're kind of intimidated to pick on me.
Well, let me ask you, this is a question for each of you guys. What is your most memorable moment that you've had since joining the group?
When I finally got to meet these guys and see their cars in person and comparing them to what I've got and what they've got, and I was very impressed with all their cars.
So now that you've seen all the cars, do you still have a better car than they do?
Of course. I've got 5 better cars than they do.
Jim, what was your most memorable?
This is the most memorable moment here. Being at Lancaster's, doing interviews with you, just meeting these guys for the first time.
Wow, that's
our
really
cars,
cool.
Each of us feed off each other.
Mm-hmm.
I love his interior on the Pepsi car, the Preacher's interior.
The diamond plate, yeah.
I've got now ideas where I can go further, and we just feed off each other's thoughts, ideas, and everything else.
And how about for you?
For me, it's like I said, it's just hanging out, getting to meet the people that you've been talking to for a while, and having Dan talk me into actually running in the Optima Ultimate Streetcar, even though, and thanks to my wife for letting me use her vet.
You won.
Yeah, and I won my classes, yeah.
What did you get? Cool.
Did you get a trophy?
I got a trophy. All right. It was pretty cool. It really was. It was very cool. I wasn't expecting it, but it was very cool.
Nice.
I drove pretty good.
The best thing about this whole deal is the camaraderie with like people, meeting people that you haven't got the chance to meet before. Mm-hmm. It's just been great. And if anybody gets a chance to see Thomas's car, his petty car, it is outstanding. It is. It's over
it's
the top.
The real deal.
I'm jealous as all get out, and I wish I knew where he lived late at night. It's amazing.
Thanks for the flowers. Here's your $20.
Well, it sounds like you guys all had a great time, and you know I want to thank you guys for inviting me out tonight and meeting you and checking out your cars. Thanks for coming on the show.
I want to thank Thomas and Jim right here, right now. For doing this.
Absolutely.
Has been amazing today. These guys have planned this for a few months, and they have done an outstanding job. Thank you, guys.
These two guys did put it together and made it all come together.
Nice.
And I'm trying to get them all to go to Daytona in February.
Well, how can you say no to Daytona? I mean,
there you go.
Sponsorship
very
issues.
Okay, that I understand. That I actually understand. But yeah, I hope that, you know, I'm going to post out this, you know, the links to your Facebook group and hopefully get more people to join.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we can get this thing bigger and maybe make a real annual event of this every year.
And I got one thing to say. Anybody out here that's got this crazy idea to do it, you're not by yourself. How many times did I hear my wife go, "Why do you want to build a car like that? That's just the stupidest thing ever." Well, the fact is, we're not alone. There's a lot of people out here would do this kind of crazy thing, and it's a lot of friggin' fun.
Right, right.
And not only that, I didn't do it one time. I've done it 5 times.
And Jim, you've actually went down to the Petty Garages, and they've actually helped you put your car together, correct?
Yes, yes, correct. They put an LS1 in the car, as well as the rear end from Kyle Petty's car.
Wow.
You know, and the transmission. They did a lot of motor work, and they went all out. Rear spoiler. You know, they're the group to go to if you want it done right.
Well, see, that's another good way that race fans can meet their favorite drivers and teams. Stop building cars that look like theirs, and they'll welcome you into their shop with open arms.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty good, right? You guys found a good niche.
Yeah.
Well, cool, guys. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and we'll keep in touch. And
thank
let
you
me know when you guys
us.
Have, you know,
we're
another
ready.
Event. We'll do this again.
We'll definitely.
All right.
Thank
you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So how cool are those guys? And their favorite drivers whose cars they've replicated, they think that they're pretty cool too. I mean, it does not get much better than that. Now, if you're out there and you have a replica streetcar of your favorite driver, and if you're thinking of building or if you're thinking about building a replica car of your favorite driver, you know, from the past, then you definitely need to connect with these guys. Their Facebook page is called Street Legal Stock Car Tributes. That's Street Legal Stock Car Tributes. It's an open group, and you can join it right after the show. Actually, after our interview, I actually took Thomas and Dan to my race shop with Brian. They were working on the auto car, and I kind of introduced them and let them see our shop. Since they said that they were going all to all these other shops, I was like, well, you can't leave without seeing our shop. And we got some stuff going on, so come on over. And they did. They met Brian and got to talk some more cars, and they had a really good time. So I'm glad that they came on out. And we'll have to do it again. But the guys that they all said that they are definitely going to join me on Race Fans Rock and create a group on there for themselves. And I'll put the link to that group up site-wide so everyone that's on Race Fans Rock can check them out when they sign up on there as well. Now, actually, I'd like to talk a little bit more about racefansrock.com. It's my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it, and that means you. It's designed for race fans, drivers, teams, members of NASCAR, ARCA, and, of course, everyone in the media. I want everybody to come together and interact on one amazing social community. You can join it for free right now. It's very, very user-friendly, and it's familiar because I've combined the best features of popular social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, put it all together. We post cool and informative information on there every week. We have prize giveaways for certain kinds of interactions, and, you know, a lot more on the agenda. It's really easy to stay connected to Facebook and Twitter because we've integrated them right into racefansrock.com. So when you post to racefansrock.com, you can post directly to Facebook and Twitter as well. It's a really nice feature. Plus, we took it one step further with the complete Twitter integration. Now, when you connect your Twitter account to Race Fans Rock, you're going to see your entire Twitter feed right up on your profile as well. And you can tweet, favorite, quote, retweet, and do everything right from Race Fans Rock, and it all gets posted to Twitter. Right now, we're at 242 members, and it's growing pretty fast. I would like to welcome our newest members who just signed up, and that will be Phil Ahrens, Diane Collop, Michelle Keelans, and Karen Shellcross. Thanks for joining, guys. Now, we launched on April 6th this year, and I checked out the stats just before the show, like I do all the time, and we are well over 151,000 page views and interactions since April 6th. So that's a great thing to hear, and it tells me one thing. When our members sign into racefansrock.com, they stay on there, and that's what we want. That's exactly what I wanted Race Fans Rock to be all about. I want it to be a site that race fans and the racing community will, you know, love to spend their time and, you know, give me everything that they want on a race-related site. So, personally, my favorite feature on racefansrock.com is the live chat rooms, and I have them set up for every driver in the top three series and then some. And I even have my very own Infield Gens social sofa chat room, which I use when the races are going on and I'm in front of a TV watching it with others, you know, at home. The conversations in the chat room, they're a lot of fun. Now, we talk, you know, about what's going on during the races in real time, you know, when something happens on the track, we're talking about it right away in the chat room. And then, you know, when the race is having some good green flag runs, we can get a little off topic and talk about where, you know, everyone's from, what they do, and, you know, just fun conversation. I'm really getting away from posting the lap-by-lap results on Facebook and Twitter because it just takes too long. You know, you post it, they have to read it, and they have to think about what they want to say, and they have to type it, and then, you know, they send the response. You have to hit refresh to see what the hell they say, and it just takes too long. So by the time you do all that, you know, you're 10 laps behind talking about old news. So from now on, I'm in my live chat room during the races, and that's what I want to do for every race from now on. Now, when you join any of the other driver chat rooms, you can instantly connect with other fans that like the same drivers as you do, and you never know when that driver will actually pop in there and chat with you, you know, live. And if a driver does join, he or she is verified, so, you know, you're not talking to an imposter. Have very strict guidelines on Race Fans Rock, and if you're not on there talking about racing, you know, you're going to get a warning about soliciting, and, you know, this isn't a dating site, so that's not going to be tolerated either. Anyone can report any kind of negative behavior, and it will be checked out and dealt with really quickly. So if you haven't joined Race Fans Rock already, go ahead and do it. It's easy. Again, it's free, and I know you're going to really enjoy racefansrock.com. All right, moving on. So if you've been thinking about getting your feet wet in the motorsports industry, a good way to go about it, aside from building a replica car of your favorite driver, is to get on board with a team like Brian Keselowski Motorsports as a sponsor. We definitely like to do more ARCA racing this year, and you know, we're looking for some good people to partner up with. So if you do sign up with us, in addition to just having a decal on our race car or a patch on Brian's, you know, race uniform, you know, we're offering really attractive packages that includes representation on both BrianKeselowski.com, InfieldGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, YouTube, and more, as well as live commercials right here on this show. We can even include some VIP experience passes to the ARCA race or a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of our sponsor's choice. And, hey, I got my InfieldGen Race Fans Rock Highland Wealth Advisors LLC fire suit now, so I have some more space on there as well. Bottom line is we always strive to do more for our sponsors to make it a really successful partnership so that it works, you know, it works for our sponsors and they get a good return. It's harder, it's just getting harder and harder to do these days, but we have a lot of options available to do a really good job. Now, working with our team really is a good opportunity for you to get the word out about your business, your product, or your brand. And if you want to, you know, use our race team to make a unique announcement like, you know, happy birthday or happy anniversary, will you marry me? You know, we can do that, and I can make that happen for you. So just connect with me socially or by email at infojen@gmail.com, and you know, we'll talk. So we got a lot of programs that get fans involved, you know, and like I said, it helps us raise the funds that we need to go racing. But my InfoGen fan sponsorship program, it's really what helped put Brian back on track this time. Now, my InfoGen fan sponsorship program allows us to connect with race fans. It allows them to have the access to the NASCAR races that they are dying to go to. It gives them the chance to meet all of their favorite drivers while they help our team. I started the program in the beginning of the year, and wow, it's really caught on. I'm pretty much turning race fans into sponsors every single day, and I can do it for you too. So I bet you didn't know that for as little as $100, you could be considered a team sponsor. I said $100. Now, based on the different packages I have, our sponsors will receive a VIP pass, or, you know, a few of them, to a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race of their choice for any of the races during the 2015 NASCAR season. For more information, just go to infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I've posted a list of commonly asked questions. So, you know, all you have to do is read the information, read all the questions and the answers, and you'll have everything you need to make that decision. Once you do, just connect with me and tell me when I'll be turning you into a team sponsor too. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. So check it out, and I'm telling you, you never knew how easy it was to do this. I customize packages as well, so if you want to see your logo on a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series car, even if it isn't Brian Keselowski's car on track, I can make that happen for you too. I kind of know some people. Anyway, check it out, and I will hook you up, I promise. All right, so now that the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Xfinity teams have returned from Indy, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck teams have returned from playing in the dirt at Eldora Speedway, the next tracks on the schedule for them is Pocono Raceway and Iowa Speedway. Now, the at Pocono Raceway, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and ARCA Racing Series will be there. And the Xfinity Series will be headed back to Iowa Speedway, where it was literally as hot as hell a couple of weeks ago when I was there. So I'm hoping it's a little better for them this time around. All right. Let's get started on who's who, who's in it, and who's driving what this weekend. Starting with the Camping World Truck Series at Pocono Raceway, we have 33 trucks on the entry list for Saturday's Pocono Mountains 150 at Pocono Raceway. We have Kevin Harvick in the 00. Mason Mingus will be in the 15. Ryan Ellis will be in the 28. He's really cool. Brad Keselowski will be in the 29. And this will be really cool for Brad. This will be a really special race for Brad. And I know he wants to win because his dad, Bob, won there in the past, and his uncle Ron won there in the past. So it would be nice to see Brad win this weekend in the truck series. And it would be great to see Brian win because he'll be a crew chief there. So that would be cool. We have Austin Dillon in the number 33. Todd Peck has been added in the 40. Still not sure who's going to drive the 50 truck just yet, but I'm sure we'll figure that out by the time the green flag drops. Kyle Busch will be in the 51. Matt Tift is in the 54. Kyle Martell has been added in the 59. And Garrett Smithley, good friend of ours, he's going to be in the number 63. Oh, I can't wait to see Garrett there. He's going to do pretty well. At least I hope so. But the race is set to take place on Saturday, August 1st at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired on Fox Sports 1, so check that one out. Now, there's 39 cars on the entry list so far for Saturday's U.S. Cellular 250 at Iowa Speedway. And we have Anthony Crumpen will be in the 15 for Rick Ware Racing. Kenny Wallace will make his final NASCAR start in the JGR number 20. I think we're going to miss Kenny on track. Ryan Blaney remains in the number 22. Dylan Lupton will drive the number 25. Matt Wallace, son of Mike Wallace, will return to the number 26, the JGL. Brandon Jones is in the RCR, number 33. Eric Jones will drive the number 54. And Ben Rhodes will pilot the number 88 for Junior Motorsports. The NASCAR Xfinity Series U.S. Cellular 250 is set to start on Saturday, August 1st at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. All right, moving on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The entry list for the Windows 10 400 race at Pocono Raceway shows 43 cars and teams on the entry list. That includes Travis Quapple in the number 32 for Go Green Racing, Alex Kennedy in the number 33 for Circle Sport Racing. We're not sure who's going to be in the 62 or the number 98 just yet. But since there's only 43 cars entered, all the drivers will make the race. And that, let me tell you, is a great feeling to have when you go into the track and you're one of those go-or-go-home teams. And when you know that you go to the track and you know that you're going to guaranteed start that race, it's a really good feeling. And it's a huge weight lifted off your chest. Trust me, I know. We experienced that back in 2013 when Brian ran a handful of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races in the number 52 car. And it was a really huge relief to go to the tracks where there were only 43 cars, or when you going made 43 cars. So there are definitely a few teams out there this week that are, you know, breathing a sigh of relief, and, you know, good luck to them. The Windows 10 400 at Pocono Raceway is set to start on Sunday, August 2nd at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired on NBCSN. Now, as for the ARCA Racing Series, there are 29 entries on the list for the ModSpace 125 at Pocono Raceway. Now, that race is set to start on Saturday, August 1st at 3:15 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired on Fox Sports 2 right after the truck race. Be sure to visit www.arcaracing.com for more information about the drivers and the teams and all the race information. Now, I'll be there at the track this weekend with the number 54 of Matt Kurzhevsky, and we will be racing, like I said, right after the Camping World Truck Series race is over. Now, I'm leaving for Pocono on Thursday morning. We've got to go all the way to the Pocono Mountains, and we have practice and qualifying on Friday, and we race, you know, on Saturday. We're heading home right after the race, so I won't be there for the NASCAR Sprint Cup race, unfortunately. But I will be in front of my computer when that green flag drops for it. So if you're not at the track this weekend, and if you're not able to catch the action, that's okay. Just grab a seat with me on my social sofa in my very live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com for the Sprint Cup race. I'll be home, and I'll be back in front of my computer in the social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com, so make sure you join me there. Keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. Find me on racefansrock.com by simply typing InfieldGen in the search box and add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/InfieldGenFanpage and facebook.com/RaceFansRock. Follow me on Twitter at InfieldGen. And, you know, I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Pinterest, Periscope, and all those other ones out there, too, as InfieldGen. Make sure you visit my website, InfieldGen.com, on a daily basis and check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results. That includes all the practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results that are complete with the race notes, the penalty reports for, you know, every race. Make sure you check out the new blog posts, cool fan stories, post-race audio interviews straight from the media centers at each and every racetrack, different teams' press releases. They send them to me. I post them up, you know. I post all the photos from my dedicated fan and the stand reporters every weekend. You know, so much more that I post up. So check it all out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on InfieldGen.com. And then, you know, show some support. Click over to my merchandise tab and get yourself some gear. I got some pretty cool stuff up there with my logo on it. Well, I am just about out of time for tonight's show, and I want to thank Nathaniel Massey for his report of Eldora Speedway. I want to thank Jim and Preacher and Thomas and Dan for inviting me to meet up with them yesterday at Lancaster's in Mooresville and see their dedication, you know, dedicated replica cars, and for talking with me about them. I want to thank all the race fans who became sponsors, and a huge shout-out to Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, for their continued support, Tate's Cleaning Services for helping me keep a clean home, and my Basset Hounds, and to each and every one of you guys who tuned in. I hope you all enjoy this weekend's races at Pocono Raceway and Iowa Speedway. Stay cool. I will be taking your requests for pictures and information from any of your favorite ARCA teams, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series drivers at Pocono. So if you have them, post them, and I'll get it done for you. If you're going to go to any of the racetracks this weekend, feel free to send me some of your awesome pictures that you take, and so that, you know, I can see how much fun you're having, and I'll post them up so everybody else can see how much fun you're having. They'll all be posted up on InfieldGen.com under the fans. Thanks again for tuning in tonight, and we will get to do this again next Tuesday evening. Till then, you guys have a great week, and I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time, And remember, everyone, racefansrock.com. Join. Good night, guys.